You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, become a flexible season ticket member today. There are flexible payment plans available to get you the best tickets at the best prices. Be flexible like Gumby. You can be rigid if you want to. You can still be a season ticket member of the Cleveland Browns. Don't worry about it. Don't miss the excitement at First Energy Stadium this fall with home matchups against the Broncos, the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Redskins, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Ravens, and more. I'm going to take a little bit of umbrage with that. Broncos, 49ers, Cardinals, Redskins, Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, and more. Who are they leaving out? They're leaving out one game from the home slate. The Oakland Raiders are being left out. And the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Don't disrespect it.
You figure the Redskins are a preseason game.
Redskins, that's a preseason game. You're correct. Yeah, so they're no. Those are our. Come on, we got to have. Those are winnable games there.
They're probably putting the feature of the packages together for you to buy a ticket to a game that actually matters that people want to see. You've got to get a ticket to the Redskins game as well.
Perhaps that's the case, but let's not forget. You got the home opener coming up there. Tennessee Titans, week two. Marcus
Mariota. Two winnable
games
back to back.
Derek Carr and the Oakland
Raiders.
Yeah, come on.
How about Derek Carr got hurt yesterday?
Very minor, I'm told. Very minor.
Okay.
Should be fine.
A finger problem for a quarterback.
Doing some reporting, I was told by league sources, very minor. If he had to play, he'd be playing no problem whatsoever. So they do expect him back for the OTAs and mini camp, and he should be ready for all that stuff. But again, if you want to be, visit clevelandbrowns.com. Call 440-824-3434 for more information. That's 440-824-3434. Now, we have got some people checking with us on Twitter who have got some interesting comments. My man, @Sunny_D, says, if the goal is to make PATs harder and make the game more exciting, why not just require two-point attempts every single time?
That has been discussed. I don't know why. I think the traditionalists still want to see that kick in the game. You know, and I don't think you can deviate or to remove that kick or those tries from the game.
So I think it's that. I think
do you make them run? What about making them run a play just to get a 1 point from the one? You know, with a 2 point option from the three.
They are placing a little bit more importance on kickers, I think.
They are
kicking accuracy.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, one of the things I want to ask Chris Tabor later is, you know, how do you balance how good it is at kickoffs with kicking? Because now every extra point, you know, you can make an extra point. I can make an extra point. We can make
you could have. Now it's
now,
a question.
Oh,
I don't know if I can tow one from the 33.
I don't know, exactly. Just pop it up. I don't know if I can do that from the 33. So it's going to place a premium on accuracy for these kickers and guys who can actually make the kicks. Another one, this is an interesting one. Browns fan 42 says, my idea is a touchdown is just automatically 7, and it is your choice to go for 2. To you go under the 2, basically, touchdown 7, you can choose to use the current 2-point conversion, i.e. go for it from the 2. If you get it, you get one more point, which brings you to 8.
Right.
If you don't get it, you lose a point to 6.
Nah. No way.
It's not happening, but I think it's interesting.
No, it is interesting. It's very interesting. It's just too far. The reason I said is because it's too far-fetched. That's 20 years from now. You know?
Yes. But I like it. I don't mind that.
I don't mind it. It's just too finicky, because what we must have to understand too is you're talking about a game. The NFL is growing so fast that the rules can't continually change, or else you're going to lose the new fan.
Right.
I just became a game. You know, I just went to my first football game last year. My husband took me. If you're a female, or I just went to my first football game. Took my 13-year-old, and you're having him learn it. Dad, why are they doing it this year when they didn't do it last year? You're having them teaching the game. And they want to lure you in with something exciting and not make it confusing. Well, why are they two? Why do they move back? Why is this penalty? What? You know, all that kind of that back and forth is why they're trying to shorten the game and make it more exciting. And in every sport, baseball included, they've got the time clock in between innings now.
Thank goodness baseball needs all the help you get. Don't call up and yell at us, all you baseball purists out there. Don't call up and get angry.
I didn't say anything. It was Nathan.
I did.
I love baseball.
It. Yes, I said it.
Love the new renovations to Progressive Field as well.
Cleve T.A. taught it. He says teams will kneel. By the way, Cleve T.A. is a guy who won along with Scott Lichtenstein. They are going to be a co-host of Cleveland Browns Daily. They won in the Foundation Radio-a-thon
last
year. We got to get them in here. We got to set
Bring
that
it.
Up.
Let's Cleve go.
T.A., if you're listening, we got to think about this. He says, teams will kneel up one with less than 10 seconds left. He said, I once bet if it were legal, a team down minus 1.5. After touchdown with 5 seconds left, they were up one. They just knelt, and I lost. They didn't even bother to kick it because they didn't want to risk losing there. So that is possible. Says also he thinks this gives a slight advantage for good run option teams to go for two. Perhaps Seattle, Philadelphia will be more inclined to go for two now as opposed to kicking. Could that be for a team that is so run heavy like the Browns? Could that be something that factors into Mike Penn's thinking when you get down there and you, let's say you're in a bad weather game, the 22-23 is just chopped up and you decide, hey, we can run the ball. Let's go to our core competency. Can we get 2 yards? Of course we can. Let's
if
go
you're,
get it.
Yeah. If you're running hot and you're running well that day and your confidence is extremely high for the way you've converted, say, third and shorts or maybe a fourth and short, and you've just plowed through whoever you're playing, the one thing that you have to take into effect is when you line up and a team knows there's a 70% chance that you're going to run because of the way you've been running all day, and also to the personnel you put in the game, you're going to get their big boys too. And so nobody's going to just get pushed around. Nobody's going to give you the freeway and just go ole, you know, so they're going to give you their best effort, especially because it's such a unique circumstance with that 2 point on the line.
I think there are going to be some coaches who are going to use this as a psychological thing now, where they run, let's say they run down, they get inside the five, they line up jumbo, run it in 3 or 4 downs, and they say, let's line up again, and let's run it down their throat again and go 8 points on them and just say, get off me.
Yeah.
As opposed to sending this kicker out there for a 33-yard extra point.
And a lot has to do with what happens in the season prior. You know, if your kicker has missed an extra point, you know, at some point or another, in say within the 5 or 6, if you're week 7 and your kicker has missed a kick, he's put doubt in your mind that if you're running well, you're like, that's when Pet calls up to Flip and goes, hey, they can't stop us, you know.
Yeah, let's go for two.
Kicker X, you know, has already missed one week 2. Remember that? It's a little windy, you know, there's a little drizzle coming down. You want to pound this in and get the two? That conversation's going to happen.
See, I think some defensive-minded and aggressive run coaches are going to go for two more often now. And again, the analytics guy on a team is going to say, don't change your strategy at all. This does not impact our strategy, but I think it is going to impact strategies.
And like anything in life, there's a snowball effect. When you convert one, that question comes up now. Should we do it again? Should we do it? If you've had a positive, outcome from the first time, and even though it was a unique circumstance with the wind, with the drizzle, with that dominant day,
right,
you know, it puts that little bit of thought every time, not every time you score, but in situations where you'd like to grab a point, you know, in a game that you know is going to be close. Steelers-Browns, Steelers-Ravens, Steelers-Bengals, well, that point is going to be the difference at some point in the fourth quarter.
You know, and it's also, people used to go for two only in certain situations. They had the book. That book, I think, is going to go out the window.
Yeah,
because
there's a new book coming.
Yeah, coaches are just going to want to do it. They're going to want to go for it. They're going to want to figure out a way to get after it. So I do think that it's going to change the frequency with which teams go for two, even though statistically speaking, the best information that's out there right now says it should. Now, again, those are small sample sizes, though, because there are only so many field goals that are kicked from the 30 to 35-yard range. Now you're going to have extra points kicked there all the time. So maybe the statistics change when it becomes a more frequent, you know, item and something you're seeing all the time. I think it's going to be funny when you see teams, because I think this is going to happen a lot, at least early on in the season, where a team scores a touchdown, everybody runs down to the two. You know what I mean? The defense runs down there, the offense runs, and then
Just shifting all the bodies. Yeah,
everybody back them up. Yeah. Back them up there to kick this 33-yard extra point. Michael Horvath says, so the PAT is from the 33 for 1 point, but a field goal kicked, a 20-yard field goal is still going to be worth 3 points.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
Because you've worked so hard to score that touchdown prior.
Yes. Tommy Vito says this is going to have a big impact on his Super Bowl squares, and it could. New numbers, 7s and 3s and 0s.
Yeah.
That was what it was all about. Now you're going to add, you know, 4s, whatever, multiples of 7 and 3. But now you're going to have a lot of new numbers out there, a lot of new, possibilities. 15 might not be an uncommon score.
I've got a friend of the show. Saji Daniels, 1 point from the 10, 2 points from the 20, 3 points from the 30.
Those are the options?
Yeah.
Everybody kicked from the 3, from the 30, though. They're automatic, these guys.
It's a 47-yarder.
Oh, kicking it from the 30. So you could go for a 47-yarder for 3.
Yes.
I think they would go for the other one for 2 all the time.
I think so, too.
I think the 2.
Because it's the closest to where we're at right now for the 1.
It's true.
So,
it is true.
There's so, and again, that's those the thought that you threw out, these thoughts, it gets people thinking, and I'm not ruling them out, but it's not right now. It's 10 years from now. It's we've got to play this. We've got to figure it out. They're going to take feedback and analytics at least for a decade. We'll say 5 years, you know, to a decade to see if the fans are enjoying this, if it's a better product, if the coaches have figured it out, or there's any finicky rules that we haven't yet, if it's ruining anything, before they either change it back or evolve these rules in a different direction as well.
So as a defense, how often did you practice? How often do you practice literally like a goal line situation?
Only once in my career in 8 years did I ever have a live goal line session.
Okay.
So reenacting a live goal line session is very, very rare because of
the
physicality and the violence and getting, you know, 1,500 plus pounds, you know, both offensively and defensively entangled, and then you're trying to execute a play. And there's teams that want to be able to run, so to do that in a 9-on-7 session is very difficult. So that's one thing. It's hard to reenact. So you don't practice it a lot, but once a week – you know, and I think in OTAs, you're going to have a full-on day dedicated to goal line, just like you will red zone, third down, 7+, all those scenarios that come up that will be a point of emphasis in practice. But once the season comes, you do goal line. Now, under the new CBA, I wouldn't be surprised if you're doing goal line in shells.
Okay, but my question, the reason I ask this is, if you're expecting a massive increase in plays from the two-point conversions, are you going to be spending more time in your goal line defense and goal line offense packages because you're going to need to have a variety of plays from the two?
Yeah, you evolve them.
You're going to have to evolve that. Defenses, you're going to have to spend more time on that. Does that lead to more injuries in practice?
It does. Defensively, what you do is going to be what you do down there, okay? But you have to be ready for so much more. I think the offensive evolution is going to be in high gear, and the defense is just going to be very reactive down there, you know, based on the personnel.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting to see how this will all play out, because I think it is. It's going to change the way you're going to have to go through game prep, as you talked about. If you know you're going into a field that's going to be sloppy and there's going to be bad weather, you know what? Are you going to work more on your two-point conversion time? How much time is dedicated to that in practice? What is that time taking away from that you would otherwise be practicing on? It's a whole lot of little cat and mouse, et cetera. And if you're going against a team, let's say Chip Kelly decides with this rule, I'm going for two every single time.
And I'm going five wide.
When you play Philly, you're going to have to go out there and figure it all. You know, you're going to have to dedicate a lot of time to that in practice. All right, when we come back, Mike Sando from ESPN's NFL Insider, their program there, they just graded the entire offseason of every team in the NFL. Browns did not get a good grade. I was shocked. I kept scrolling and scrolling.
Passing grade, but
where,
not a good grade.
Where are my Cleveland Browns? And they were down there with a C+. So we will ask Mike about that, his panel, how they arrived at that grade on the Cleveland football Browns. It's coming up next right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.